This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
Hey, welcome to the War Room today. Today I got Jim in the War Room today. Man, awesome pre-conversation about all that stuff behind you. That's amazing. We definitely got to talk about that too. Hey, welcome to the War Room today. I feel that there's going to be some really good energy from this episode today. And thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So I kind of like to kick things off here with, I'm terrible at introducing people. So, and I have no problems admitting that. I know my strengths and weaknesses, right?
Fair enough. That's a huge step.
Yeah. So if you could take just 30 seconds, Jim, introduce yourself so everybody knows who you are, what you do, and what your superpower is.
Name is Jim Burr. Born and raised in the Motor City. Eat, sleep, and breathe cars. But the reality is, I'm a passionate person. I don't do anything partway. And if I do it partway, it usually means I shouldn't be doing it. You ask about superpower. I've learned over too many decades that really relationship management and dot connecting is where I shine. Pulling that passion for anything that I want to do into connecting people, connecting opportunities is really where I've found my biggest strength. I might, as you can see in the picture in the background, go over the top with a few things in my life, but I'd much rather be over the top and live every second than question why I didn't do something. It took me a while to learn that too.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, hey, I want to definitely dig into that, what you got going on there in the background at some point.
Cause it's a lot.
it was a pretty cool little pre chat we had, and learned a little bit about your world and so on and so forth. But I want to like dive deep into that now.
Okay.
And let's go back to, you know, did you come from a family of entrepreneurs or business people in your life?
Not really. My dad always, he was just one of those hardworking and still is a hardworking person. He's almost 80 and still works because he doesn't want to just sit. Was never a business owner per se. He rented some houses and things like that, but he was the kind of guy that if it broke, he was going to fix it. He wasn't paying somebody else to fix it. My mom was the outgoing, happy person, and still to this day is the, you know, social coordinator. And so I kind of picked up a bit of both. I have a lot of my dad's drive in me that, well, somebody said it needed to be fixed, so I might as well get going. Yeah. And so that really resonated with me. I have a creative background. I'm an artist. I'm an industrial designer by schooling, and didn't end up being able to do that for a long time because of layoffs and other things. And I've stumbled into some really crazy jobs that I would have never knew existed and created what I consider a really weird, odd toolbox. Doesn't make me better than anyone. I just have a really unique set of tools in my box to pull from. And so it allows me a really good opportunity to see what other people are doing and see how their strange tool can interact with this strange tool over here and create a new product or a new opportunity. And that's really where that strength comes from. My entrepreneurial spirit is more out of frustration that I can probably do this myself or better, not necessarily than someone else, but better for my needs. And getting laid off at the beginning of COVID was what started me down the path of saying, I'm not going to get hired. Nobody's hiring anyone. I've talked about it for 15 years, no better time than the present. And I wish it had done it 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Sure, it's totally
you learn as you go. And I was making great money. I couldn't argue with it. My boss, doesn't pay me very well today, but the company does well. And he lets me go see my grandkids whenever I want. So I really can't argue with the guy.
Yeah. Well, there's some lessons just to be learned in our last history of 3 to 4 years for sure. And, I always look at entrepreneurship as at its very basic, and humans at our very basic core, right? I really feel that everybody has that core in them. Because if we go all the way back to, the caveman, right? I mean, there was no grocery store. You had to go hunt. You had to fish. Right. You had to do all that. I mean, what better entrepreneurship is there than that?
Right.
I mean, you had to survive on your own.
Yeah.
And so I think they're, I don't really know how to say that to where it's nice. It's not nice, but there were some good things that came out of the COVID thing too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just all negative
100%.
Because I think it like shined some light on God, you know what? I can do more things and bigger things and different things. And I don't have to be stuck to the man type of attitude.
I find that myself and probably 90% of the people around me, we don't generally move in big steps until we have to. There are a few people that I know and thankfully have been able to be around them enough to learn who take those steps on their own. And this was one that I wouldn't have necessarily taken on my own out of fear. And doing it assuaged that fear. It said, well, you don't have a choice but to succeed. And I think COVID actually pushed a lot of people to do things they might not have been comfortable with. And they either didn't have a choice or why not try? What do I have to lose? I'm sitting here with, my thumbs kind of spinning around. And I'm not that person. I don't sit still very well. And so I think COVID actually brought out in a lot of ways some of the best in people. It was awful for me. I hated being cooped up at home. It drove me crazy. And I love working from home, but to be told I have to stay there, that was difficult. But it forced me to really think about what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I think a lot of people took that step and said, I have nothing to lose right now. And they learned very quickly how much time they probably had wasted not putting their opportunities first.
Yeah. So what you're doing now, I mean, did you just stumble into this or is.
I went from industrial design to marketing because I needed a job. Loved the marketing. I was in automotive marketing for 15 years. Just loved it. They were paying me to do things I was doing and reading on my weekends anyways. And literally stumbled into licensing because a friend of mine saw the diecast on my desk and said, I've got a job for you. And I said, what is it? He said, licensing. And I said, okay, what is it? People don't generally go to school for licensing. It's not a career path that is studied in college. Most of the people I know in this field came to it from other places and they brought all their different tools with them. And I ended up being hired because I knew the client and had known the client for 15 years. And they knew I could take care of things locally here in Detroit for them. And they taught me licensing. And now I'm integrating my passion for cars with my passion for toys. And I did more than toy licensing, but that was one of my core categories. And again, they're paying me to know and learn about things I already was interested in. So I got very lucky that I literally stumbled into it. Starting my own company came by virtue of I got laid off 2 months into COVID. The client knew they were going to lose the agency because the agency was getting rid of all of that work. And I had known her for years. And she called me and said, okay, you said you wanted to start your company. Are you ready? And I had already actually started the ball rolling with another small client. And everything just made sense. At that point, had nothing to lose. I was either going to look for a job for a year and have to figure out how to pay my bills, or I was going to make this my job and get some income that I could turn into whatever I want. And I have the option now to decide, do I want to go after $50,000 this year or $500,000? No guarantee I'll make any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I get to choose just how hard I want to push and hope, pray, use all my background, whatever it is, that, you know, I'll hit that 500 and not the 50. But if something happens this year and I need to dial back a little, I have that option. If I need to go full steam ahead, I have that option.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great quote, man. That's a great quote. And it's a perfect title for this podcast is you get to choose how much you push.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about owning a business, right? Is, right. You know, you get to choose, you choose. I mean, happiness comes in more ways than just dollar signs. Right. So
I can attest.
Yeah. And I think we do get caught up sometimes in, you know, more, 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 more. Mm-hmm. But as you get a little bit older, our ages, I think you start to learn to like settle into less kind of becomes more. Right. And yeah.
I had a person who was very close to me asked me one time, why are you never content?
Right.
And I said, well, I think you're defining content differently than I am. I don't need to be sitting still to be content. I like to read once in a while. I usually fall asleep. I like to fish a lot. I like to go to car shows. I like to sit at my desk and come up with a new idea for a client. I'm going to be the one that has a scroll a mile long of things to do when I retire, which I probably will never do because I like what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I'm going to be the one that's always moving. And today, if I need to sleep in because I'm exhausted, I have the option to do that. And I can work till 8 if I want.
Right.
I can take my phone and my computer anywhere I go, and I can make something happen with that idle 20 minutes that I might have sat and played a game on my phone if I was other people. That's not my style. I moved in October and I haven't watched TV, but maybe 2 hours since then.
Yeah.
Because I've been so busy doing things I want to do.
Yeah, I hate TV. I can't stand it. I haven't watched TV since 2014. So.
Yeah, it used to be too much of my time. And so my response was, I am content. Content mm-hmm. for me means I'm doing the things I want to do.
Right.
And growing my business is part of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, I joke about the money, but I have more freedom to do what I need and want to do financially at half the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I can make more. I don't question my ability to make more money if I need to. What I question is my ability to actually enjoy it. I don't want to be 5 years after I retire and my health goes and I'm done and I'm sitting around wondering what I'm going to do.
Right.
Enjoyment for me means I got to go on another fishing trip. I got to drive up and see my granddaughters for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's where the doing this right means I can do all of that.
Yeah.
And I did my 16-hour days and I did my ruin a marriage because you work too much thing. And mm-hmm. that doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Slowly.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, you know, I mean, there was so much stuff in there to take little bits and pieces that we just talked about, but like for our hard heads, right? Mm-hmm. The hard heads that it just didn't permeate quite right.
Yeah.
Who had just two or three things that you could share, like lessons learned to avoid an arrow for mm-hmm. a new business owner? Hell, maybe just not even business. It could just be in life, right? Something like that. What are a couple mainstay things that you could share?
So I'm going to share a line. I always said this was going to be my book title if I ever wrote a memoir. It's everything I ever needed to know, I learned with a chainsaw in my hand. And I do ice carving as a hobby. And I now force myself to think back on the time when I was focused heavily on carving and competition and finally learning that when you do something 10,000 times, you actually do get good at it. Do the thing over and over and over again. Don't let anybody tell you not to. Listen to people if they have an idea or you ask a question, listen to what they say, but don't assume it's the only answer.
Mm-hmm.
There are 100 ways to do it. You've only come up with 1 or 10. They might have come up with 2 or 20. None of them might work for you. All of them might work for you. I had to break a lot of ice carvings to figure out how far I could push it. And it took me a long time to get comfortable to break it. I had to get past my desire to win and not worry about whether I won. I knew I could win every time I went out, every time. I had no idea if I would. Who knows if I broke something? Who knows if the weather was affecting me? Who knew if the judges didn't like me that time? And I had to allow myself to succeed and fail enough times that I didn't care about what those other people and situations brought to the party.
Yeah.
I was trying to create an end product where I was my biggest competition. So I think that's another key is make yourself your biggest competition. Know what other people are doing around you. But how are you going to, I think you've even posted this in the strategic advisor board. Know what everyone else is doing, but recognize that you need to be better today than you were yesterday, not better than anyone else.
Yep.
I know I've seen a quote like that from you posted in our group.
Yep.
I have to remind myself in my business life how much that worked in my ice carving life. Because it doesn't feel the same when you're in the middle of it and you got 42 clients pounding you. And you feel like you're not getting anywhere.
No.
And I have to think about the time I was laying on the ground and I lifted my head and I busted the entire petal off a giant flower I was doing with 5 minutes left in a competition. And I watched my daughter just break down crying because in her 5 years of life, she'd never seen me lose a competition. And it was a very pointed moment for me to say, it's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't win this time. But I learned I got to be more careful where my head is. It was a great teaching moment for her too, because she thought you just went out and you won and you don't every time.
Right.
And so I think those are probably the keys is pay attention to what everyone's saying around you, but don't take it all as gospel. Believe in yourself. You got there. Somehow you got where you are, and it wasn't, if you're already thinking about starting a business, it's because you have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Do it.
What do you have to lose? Actually,
yeah. I mean, yes, money, and depends on what your responsibilities are. But at some point, if you really believe in it, you're going to find a way.
Right.
I think the last thing that that just popped into my head is, don't be afraid to change. I won't say lanes, but don't be afraid to make changes. What I thought my company was going to be 3.5 years ago is basically the core. But I've had so many people come to me and say, hey, can you help me with this?
Right.
Wow, I never thought about trying to monetize that.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah, I can help you with that. I can say yes or no when I want. But being able to say yes to something different, you have to embrace that, because you never know what kind of crazy thing is on the other side of that yes.
And yeah, it goes back to you have the power to choose, right?
It's
so kind of brought that whole thing full circle right
there.
It is
so empowering to be able to try something. And
yeah.
Well, if it fails, I got these three other things that are going too, and we're all good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Well, yeah, that's some really good advice in there. And yeah, that shouldn't have been hard for the hard heads to catch that. That's for sure.
I'm but, one of the hard heads some
yeah,
days.
well, I am too. I think we all are sometimes for sure. But, well, hey, you know, Jim, how do you want people to reach out to you, that are looking for what you do?
So my core is brand development and licensing. I've worked in automotive, but I've also worked in lifestyle products. I've worked in food. Anywhere that someone owns a brand or owns a product that they want brands associated to. And the one core is everything I do is want-based. Mm-hmm. Nothing I do is need-based. And so we try to have fun with it, but we try to connect brands with companies that can help them grow or vice versa. I got a company here and this brand would really grow from their expertise. And I put those together. And so if you've got a product line, if you have a brand that you think could expand into non-core categories through licensing, if you've got contracts you need negotiated and you don't understand how that works from a, you know, in licensing and brand extension, if I can't help you, I know people that can. There's a network of people just like me that have differing levels of expertise in different categories, and we all work together to try and help each other grow. So I don't even have a website right now because I haven't had a need to outwardly market directly, but I'm always looking for interested parties. So the best way to find me is through email, and it's just jbur@millionbillboards.com.
There it
is. Nice
and
easy. It's a long, long name, but the name is because people used to ask me what I did and I said licensing and they would look at me like I just grew a second head because they didn't know what it was.
Right,
and I would explain that every single item that you put out in the market with your brand on it is a billboard.
Yeah, well,
I
that's
don't care
true.
If it's a Hot Wheels or a t-shirt or a phone case. It doesn't matter. If your brand is on it, it is a billboard for your brand and you need to make sure those billboards are in the right place.
Right.
And so that's where the company name came from.
Awesome. But, awesome. Well, hey, kind of wrapping things up here, Jim. I always like to ask this question. It's a little thought provoking, so on and so forth, and kind of gets the juices flowing a little bit. And that is, you know, if you could have invited anyone here to this mm-hmm. show today, dead or alive, any point in time in history, doesn't matter. Who would have you loved to have here with us today and why them?
There's probably two people for very different reasons. One is my grandma.
Okay.
She was my rock. She was the whole family's rock. And single mom, raised four kids and never drove a day in her life and never let anything stop her. And I think she would have been really proud to see what I've done with the tools that she gave me. And personally, I would love for her to have seen the things going on in my life and experience what that is because of some of the things she did. And the other is a teacher from high school that saw the creative bug in me and never accepted me saying I can't do it. I'm colorblind and I'm an artist. And he was the guy that said, so you're colorblind, figure out a different way. And so I learned how to paint. I learned how to draw. I learned how to do graphics from somebody that didn't say, don't do that. You won't be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know he's still out there. I've talked to him every once in a blue moon, but I don't think he realizes the impact that he had on a lot of people's lives. I think we all have teachers like that in our life, but I really think he would have gotten a kick out of seeing how I took what he taught me and blended it with this marketing stuff that I didn't have any knowledge of and licensing that I didn't have any knowledge of and just created this funky little toolbox that I talked mm-hmm. about earlier. Those would be the two most likely. My awesome. Parents are still here, so they see my stuff every day. They already appreciate what they've done and what I appreciate out of what they've done for me.
Right. So. Awesome. Great choices, my friend. And with that, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I always like to say we all have the same 168 hours a week. Hmm. Thanks for stopping here for 34 and spending them with me.
I greatly appreciate your time and what you're doing out there. I hope this inspires somebody to keep fighting.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers to you.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.